Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and welcome again to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air here this evening. And, of course, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me. You can listen to past programs there at livewithpastoral.com. You can read some articles that I've got. My latest article there is The Death of Shame. And that I point out, there's no shame today. Things once done in secret are now done openly. And Ephesians 5:12, Paul says, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But right now it's becoming a shame to not talk about those things openly, it seems like. And so that article is on there as well as other articles. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And you can find out more information there. Excuse me. And we just celebrating 2 years in our current location. We're really thankful. Actually, we moved in there on April 1st in 2022, but we had a fellowship after church today for that. And so if I fall asleep and snore in the middle of the program tonight, you'll know why. I ate too much good food. So, but that's been doing okay, I think. But we'll be here till midnight. And we love to talk to you. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and I'm going to share a few things here tonight as we're looking at these things. Just what's going on in the world today. Talking with some people last week and even in the last hour about Israel and the things that are happening there. And it's kind of amazing. It's just like a clock that, or I should say a clock, but some of you are old enough, you remember the wind-up toys that maybe you got when you were a kid, and it had a spring in there, and you had a little key or something, you'd wind it. And some clocks were that way too, wind-up clocks. And I can remember as a kid, being cautioned, don't wind it too much or you'll break the spring. And so you wind it and you're always worried, am I going to wind it too much? And if I do, what's going to happen? And that's what it seems like is happening in our world today. It just seems like we're getting wound tighter and tighter and tighter. And at some point, it's going to give way, and that thing's just going to go spring, and things are going to start happening. I mean, it really amazes me that more has not happened already. In many respects, it amazes me that we're still here today. When we look at current events, when we were looking last week, Israel had just been attacked by Iran. And then Iran, with all its bluster, Israel responds, if they do anything, we're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. We've got weapons beyond their imagination, and you don't even dare touch us. And then Israel responded this past week with some surgical pinpoint strikes. And took out some sensitive anti-aircraft facilities and things like that, radar facilities in particular there in Safala, I believe it was in Iran, protecting some of their nuclear sites. And basically Israel said, listen, we can hit you anywhere we want to, anytime we want to, and there's nothing you can do about it. And to show that much of what Iran was saying was just bluster is all of a sudden they shut up. And they said, oh, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. It wasn't Israel. I like one of them said it was birds that triggered a air raid warning. It was birds. And somebody said, yeah, I'll show you a picture of the bird. And they showed a picture of the Israeli Defense Forces F-35. And they said, yeah, here's the bird that triggered their warnings. And there's just a lot going on in the world. And God's people need to be aware of what's happening. We need to be careful. We don't want to be taken unawares. And you know, I've talked to some people who just about going crazy with what's happening. And I said, listen, you got to remember, we look to the Lord. The Lord is our help in a time of trouble. He is our rock. He is our refuge. And there's no sense getting all worked up and upset and frantic over what's happening. God has a plan. And if you study the Bible, you understand what it is. You know, Donald Trump, is he going to go to jail? It's unprecedented the way he's being treated. This is absolutely unprecedented that I believe it's a county prosecutor is charging the former president of the United States with, and no pun intended, but it's appropriate, I guess, trumped up charges and, you know, threatening they want to put him in jail. And what's going to happen? I say it's unprecedented because we've never seen this in our country before. And we have federal law that states that a former president has Secret Service protection 24/7 wherever he goes. So what are they going to do if they put him in jail? Is the Secret Service going to take over the jail? Empty the cells around him? You know, these are things that we've never seen before, never had to consider before. And we need to pray for that man. I believe that God allowed him to be president in order to hold back the mystery of iniquity that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says is working in the world right now. And God is working to hold it back. The Spirit of God works through his children, and God raises up people to accomplish things. I really do believe that. God sometimes intervenes directly. Sometimes he intervenes indirectly. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. When I was in the United States Air Force in the 1980s and watching what the Soviet Union was doing and seeing what was going on and you know, working in a skiff and being privy to all kinds of information coming and going every day, you know, when we won the Cold War, my opinion from what I saw when I was in the Air Force in the 80s is that we shouldn't have won the Cold War. We should have lost. We were losing. But for God, raising up a particular individual by the name of Ronald Reagan to the presidency of the United States of America, and but for God raising up a particular woman by the name of Margaret Thatcher to be the Prime Minister of England, of Great Britain, and the United Kingdom. And, you know, but for God doing that, I believe we would have lost. Had Jimmy Carter gotten another term in office, or had we ended up with somebody Carter-like, I don't think we'd have won the Cold War. I think God actively intervened in our affairs with the election of Ronald Reagan and actually intervened in the affairs of the United Kingdom with elevating Margaret Thatcher to be Prime Minister. Those two, and as an independent fundamental Baptist pastor, I'm going to give you a third name that I think is the third person most responsible, and you're going to be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Al, you're supposed to be a Baptist, not a Catholic. Let me give you that third person. That third person is Pope John Paul II. And a lot of people don't know what happened. Pope John Paul II, remember he was from Poland. Anybody remember what was going on in Poland? Solidarity, Lech Wałęsa, and the things that were going on there? Let's just say there's a lot of things behind the scenes that was going on that Pope John Paul II facilitated. And I'm saying that as an independent fundamental Baptist pastor. I'm not saying that in any way to justify the Catholic Church or the Catholic doctrine, but I'm just saying, if God could use Balaam's donkey, he can use a Catholic pope. You know, he could use a Democrat, I guess, if he could use a donkey, but that's another story. But what I'm getting at is, but for God, we would have lost the Cold War. The mystery of iniquity was working back then, but God actively intervened because it was not yet time. Well, I don't know when the time is, but it wasn't then. And that's where I think that when Barack Obama was president and the rate we were descending into, you know, just the whole leftist communistic morass that he was leading. Remember, he said that his goal was to fundamentally transform America, and he was partially successful in doing that. And but for God, Hillary Clinton would have been president. Everybody expected, I think even Donald Trump expected it. I remember hearing some national talk show host, I think it was Sean Hannity, say that they had asked one of Donald Trump's sons, I think it was Eric Trump, how his father was doing on election night as the results were coming in. And they said, well, he's sitting in the one room there in Trump Tower quietly watching the polls because he thought he was going to lose. And meanwhile, Hillary Clinton was over there just ecstatic. They were popping the champagne bottle corks. They were getting ready to let the balloons loose. They had fireworks ready to go. They were excited. She was going to win. And then, curious couple of things happened. Over in Israel, in Jerusalem, there was a Christian festival of conference or festival or something that was going on. And the people who were running it felt impressed to pray for the American presidential election. And they began praying, and they invited people who were Americans to come forward and to be a part of it. And then they invited everybody to join in. And they began praying, and it was at that time that we began to see the election results in the United States begin to change, suggesting that maybe Hillary wasn't going to win after all. And there were some people on a Christian network here in the States that at the same time, just coincidentally, of course, right, coincidence, not, and they began praying nationally and encouraging people to pray for the election. Now, let me jump forward to Donald Trump's attempt to be reelected, which by all objective measures, he did win, but for the cheating. Well, why didn't the cheating overwhelm his victory the first time? I think it's but for God. They thought they had it in the bag. They thought Trump was defeated. Hillary was, it was all done except for the icing on the cake. They were getting ready to celebrate, and their attention drifted away from the results and the need to cheat. And but for God, next thing you know, Donald Trump won the presidency of the United States of America. And people were just astounded. I remember watching the coverage that night. I had worked at the polls that day. It was a busy day. I was tired and trying to stay awake, and I kind of dozing off. And I think I dozed off from when they finally called it from Trump, woke up, found out he was being declared the winner. And then they were cutting to the footage of Hillary's campaign victory party that had turned into defeat. And people were just wailing and crying and sitting there stunned with their mouths open. And some of the people started streaming out. And there was one lady sitting on a bus bench or something waiting for a ride. And she's just out on the sidewalk wailing. I can't believe they elected him. He's a monster. He's a monster. And just unbelievable. And, of course, Hillary, by all accounts, went into an incredible meltdown of epic proportions, even for her standards. And Donald Trump became the 45th president of the United States of America. But for God, Hillary Clinton would have been the 45th president of America. But for God, God intervened in that. So why didn't he do that again in the last presidential election? Why not? I mean, we saw him do it before. Why didn't he do it then? Well, that's a good, curious question. Let me turn over here to Daniel, and hadn't actually planned on going quite into this part right at the moment, but in Daniel chapter 2, there's an interesting incident that's revealed to us here. Daniel chapter 2, it says, starting in verse 19, and let me back up a little bit just to give you some background here before I get to verse 19. King Nebuchadnezzar, arguably one of the most powerful men in the world at the time, he has a dream, and the dream escapes him, and he can't figure out what the dream is. And he sends for his counselors, his wise men, all these astrologers and such to see if they can, number one, determine what the dream was, and then number two, interpret the dream. Well, of course, they can't do it, and Nebuchadnezzar becomes very angry and upset, and he orders all of the wise men, all of the wise men of Babylon to be killed. And so the decree goes out. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had been groomed, even though they were Hebrew slaves. They were from when Nebuchadnezzar captured Jerusalem and defeated Judah, the southern kingdom. And he had these three men there, and he groomed them. They were trained and taught to be counselors, and they were trained as some of the wise men in Babylon. And when the decree goes out and they're looking for Daniel and his friends to kill them, Daniel speaks to the captain of the guard and to say, wait a minute, you know, hold on, don't be so hasty about this. And they send word back to King Nebuchadnezzar give us a moment, see if we can come up with the answer here. And so we come down here to, let's come down. I was going to start in verse 19, but let me back up to verse 17. Let's go back up to verse 16. I know I keep going further back, but verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now, that's the Hebrew names for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who's usually the names you think of. And it says in verse 18 that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then here's verse 19, where I was going to start originally. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he continues, verse 21 here, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Daniel continues in verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So God gives him not only Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he gives him the interpretation of it. Now, I'm not going to get into that part of it, but that was the dream where Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the image of a man with the head of gold and the arms and chest of silver, the belly of brass, and then the legs and feet of iron and the toes of iron mingled with clay. And it was prophetic of coming world kingdoms. And so not getting into that part of it right now, but what I'm looking at here is God reveals this to Daniel, and God shows Daniel what's going to happen. Daniel recognizes that this is coming from God, and that's where he said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And in verse 21, it's very instrumental. He says, "He," meaning God, "he changeth the times and the seasons. He," meaning God, "removeth kings and setteth up kings. He," again meaning God, "giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." And then verse 22, "He," meaning God, "revealeth the deep and secret things. He," again meaning God, "knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him," that is with God. So he's talking about how God often intervenes directly in world affairs. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. This is interesting. Think about this. God sometimes directly intervenes in world affairs. Now, this may seem kind of an odd thing, but I personally believe that just as God intervened in world affairs and raised up Donald Trump as the president and prevented Hillary Clinton from being president, I believe God was involved in this as well. You think, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Why would God let Donald Trump, who was, you know, one of the most pro-life presidents we've ever had, supportive of Israel? God says he'd bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel. I mean, he moved the embassy to Israel, great friend of Israel and the Jewish people. And all of this, why would God allow him, somebody who you would think should be given a second term? Why didn't God give him a second term? Why did he allow Joe Biden to usurp the presidency? And I believe that's what they did. Well, God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has work that he is carrying out that's on a timetable. You know, he mentioned the times and the seasons. He can change them somewhat, but there's certain things in the Bible that have, in a sense, a time stamp on them. And one of those is that the Bible says that the generation that sees these things come to pass. In fact, let me turn back to Luke chapter, oh, let's see here. Let me, give me just a moment here. Turn back to the Gospel of Luke chapter, I want to say 21. Yes, chapter 21, where it says this. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking about the things that are going to happen in the latter days, things that are going to happen during the tribulation, things that are going to happen leading up to the Battle of Armageddon and the end of the tribulation, all of that. And then he says in verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And we can clearly see the groundwork being set for the rise of the Antichrist, for the rise of a global government, and all of these things that are taking place right now in the world, getting in place, and we see these things beginning to come to pass. It doesn't say when they come to pass. It says begin to, the foreshadowing of these things. And so we're to look up, our redemption draweth nigh. And then he says this in verse 29, "And he spoke to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees," he says. Verse 30, "When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled." And this is what I'm talking about, a timestamp that's on here. There's something that he gives us here. "This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. What does he mean by that? Well, I believe that he means the generation that sees the fig tree bloom or begin to bud, shoot forth its leaves, is not going to pass before these things come to happen. And that's the events that he's just talking about, which also corresponds to Daniel's vision, Daniel chapter 9, the last 7 years, which is to bring Israel to the point where they accept Christ, you know, they accept the Messiah, and they'll see that Christ is the Messiah. So what is going on here? When these things begin to come to pass, and then we see these trees blooming, what does he mean by that? Well, the fig tree is the first one that he mentions, and I know we got a break coming up here. If we don't get to all this before the break, we'll continue in the second half. But as he's talking about the fig tree, this is a reference to Israel as a nation. And I won't take the time to turn there, but remember when Jesus entered and went to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and we just talked about that a few weeks ago, and he was welcomed, and he was staying in Bethany, and he was going back and forth, and I think it was the next morning or something, he's traveling back to Jerusalem, and there's a fig tree growing along the side of the road, and he goes over, if the Bible says, if haply he might find some fruit on it, even though it wasn't the time for figs. You say, well, why would he expect to find fruit when it wasn't the time? And then he ends up cursing the fig tree, and it dies up. Well, the fig tree represents Israel, who is supposed to bear fruit, but it was fruitless, and part of that because it wasn't time, and it was going to dry up until it was time. And now we see the fig tree putting forth leaves, and that's Israel becoming a nation. And Israel became a nation, of course, in May of 1948. But you notice it also says, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Now think about this. Lebanon is represented by the cedar of Lebanon. Lebanon became a sovereign state in November of 1943. Syria is represented by the oak of Bashan, the oak tree. Syria became a sovereign nation in October of 1945. Saudi Arabia is represented, I think it's the date palm. Saudi Arabia became a sovereign nation in September of 1932, a little bit earlier, but not much. Egypt became a sovereign nation in March of 1946. Jordan became a sovereign nation in February of 1922. Iraq became a sovereign nation in October of 1932. Do you see what I'm saying here? Israel and all of the countries immediately surrounding it became sovereign nations in basically the mid-1900s. Now, when he says this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled, what does that mean? Well, I believe it means that people who were alive when Israel and these other trees became sovereign nations are going to be alive at the end of the tribulation period. Now, the end of the tribulation is a minimum of 7 years in the future. Let me tell you, people who were alive in 1948 are not getting younger every day. Every day, they're getting, every year, they're a little older, and a little older, and a little older. Eventually, they're going to pass from the scene. People argue, what does a generation mean? Somebody said 40, somebody has said 70 or 80 years, somebody has said this, somebody said that. But I think the simplest meaning might be the most accurate. It means the people who were alive at the time these things happened will be alive at the end of the tribulation, you know, to see the end of the tribulation. That doesn't give us much time. We're in that ballpark, aren't we? If Donald Trump had remained president, America would have continued to grow strong and impeded the rise of the global world order. But by allowing Trump to lose to Biden's cheating, the United States has taken a decided downward turn. United States and Christians in America are the single biggest impediment right now to the globalist efforts, the World Economic Forum and the others that are trying for a global government. We're the ones in particular that the Spirit of God is working through to prevent and hinder the mystery of iniquity that's working in the world. And that's why when we look at these things, the rapture, the catching away of the believers, has to be closer than we may possibly believe. Well, we got another half hour to go tonight. I'm going to have to take a short break here, and we'll talk about this a little bit more on the other side. So stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, well, I just wanted to pick up on some things we were talking about in the last half hour about God intervening in the affairs of men. And I believe he's done it in the past, and he's going to do it again. I would love to see him intervene and allow Donald Trump to become president again, but I have no guarantee that that's going to happen, because the world is fast careening on a path that's going to lead to the one world government and the rise of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. And quite frankly, I love this country. I served the United States Air Force, and I took an oath to defend this nation and our Constitution, and I don't believe those oaths go away when you leave the service. And I went into the ministry so that I could be better able to do the work that God's called me to do. And you know, proclaiming the Word of God and trying to help people understand the Bible and find a relationship with Christ, put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to know where they're going to spend eternity and to not be in confusion or doubt over these things. And as much as I love this country and all, at the same time, I realize things are going to get a lot worse here, according to the Bible. And as I said, in the last half hour in Luke chapter 21, he says, "The generation that sees the fig tree put forth its leaves and all the trees," and I talked about that representing Israel in particular, and then the surrounding countries around Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, all of them, for the most part, becoming a sovereign nation around about mid-1900s, maybe a little early 1900s, early mid-1900s. I think, Jordan was the earliest. That was in 1922. That's because when they had the Balfour Declaration and they set up the British mandate for a Jewish homeland, it included all of present-day Israel and Jordan. And the Muslim interests rioted extensively, and there just was such unrest that they did a land for peace deal, you know, a two-state solution, and they carved out, three-quarters, two-thirds of the Israeli or the Jewish mandate, and they gave it to a newly created country called Jordan. There's no such thing as a Jordanian national or ethnic group. It's just Jordan because it was originally Transjordan because they were on the east side of the Jordan River, and everything on the west side stayed the Jewish homeland. And of course, you know, land for peace, two-state solution worked so good then they want to try it again. And the Biden administration is trying to force that on Israel even today. It's not going to work. It's not in God's plan. But getting back to this, these nations became nations in a similar time frame. And it says the generation that sees these things is not going to pass before the events of the tribulation, all the way up to the time of the Armageddon, the end of the tribulation, occur. And that tells us that we're on a countdown. We got God's clock is ticking. And people who were alive to see Israel become a nation in 1948 are not getting any younger. 100 years from now, I don't think you'll see many of them walking around. Which means that these events, if I'm interpreting this correctly, that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled, that means we can't wait another 100 years. 50 years would sure be pretty iffy. Some of these people who were alive then, you know, if they were 20 years old then or 30 years old then, you know, they're not getting any younger today. Look at our World War II veterans. They are passing rapidly. There's not that many of them left. Ones that are left are largely in, you know, some of them went in really early. They lied about their age, but even them, they're hitting into their 90s. They're 100 plus years old. How much longer are they going to be with us? How much longer is the generation that saw Israel become a state in 1948? Are they going to be with us? God says in Luke chapter 21, in verse 31, "So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." I do think that's why God intervened. And Donald Trump did not win a second term in office, because had he done that, I think it would have interfered with the timeline. Our nation, our world, is on a downward course. People are crying out for help. People are crying out for somebody to deliver them. The Jewish people are going to be celebrating Passover tomorrow, starting at sundown. And there's persistent stories. I know some people say there's nothing to it, but then there's other people who say, yes, there is a very real possibility that they're going to make a sacrifice of the red heifer on Passover. Well, we thought there was a possibility a few weeks ago on what worked out around Good Friday, Easter, that time frame. And that was because I think it was the Sabbath of the Red Heifer or something like that they called it. And there was some talk about it then. There's a lot of talk about it being at Passover. And then there's some people who've talked and said, no, it might not be until Pentecost. But there is a time frame there too, because the red heifers that they have that they spent decades searching for and spent over $500,000 trying to get them and bring them to Israel and take care of them, they have a shelf life. And my understanding is in a few months, they're going to be too old to use. So they spent all this money to bring over and to locate and bring to Israel these red heifers that are necessary for this sacrifice that they want to make so they can have the ashes of the red heifer with water to be the thing they need to purify the Temple Mount and to purify the priest to operate in the temple and all that. They look at this as necessary for rebuilding the third temple. Now, I'm not saying they're planning on rebuilding the third temple right away, but these are things they got to get into place. And they've been searching for a red heifer for some time. Even a Hamas spokesman said 100 days after the October 7 attacks that one of the reasons they attacked was because of the Jewish people's, I forget how exactly he said it, he referred to it as a despicable myth or something of a red cow. Well, why would they say that? You know, and so there's a fear that they're going to try and rebuild the temple. I remember when I was watching some of the video and seeing some of the pictures of the attacks on Israel from Iran, and there were interceptions taking place over the Temple Mount, and I remember thinking how hard would it be under a barrage that one or more of these missiles goes awry and destroys the Temple Mount. Well, of course, they'll blame it on Israel. If they don't blame it on Israel, they'll blame it on Donald Trump, I guess. But they'll blame it on Israel no matter what happens. But, you know, if the temple is gone, if the Dome of the Rock is gone, what then would prevent Israel from rebuilding the temple? Well, you say, well, the political situation. Well, I don't know if the political situation changes, but for God. We talked about that, but for God. But for God, Jimmy Carter would have stayed in office and we'd have lost the Cold War. But for God, Ronald Reagan became the president. But for God, Margaret Thatcher became the prime minister in Great Britain. And but for God, we won the Cold War. Well, but for God, Hillary Clinton would have become the 45th president of the United States instead of Donald Trump. And she'd have continued the work of fundamentally transforming America that Barack Obama had started. And we'd probably be looking at the world, the new world order, the global government, and global leader now. But for God. But for God, Donald Trump became president and put their plans back. But of course, they can't be pushed back indefinitely. I'd love to see America become great. And I'm going to do everything I can to help that. But at the same time, I understand that God's got a timetable that's beyond our desire to see America become great again. And in that timetable, I don't see the United States. I know some people try to come up with all kinds of ways to make the United States a major player during the latter day thing, but I don't see the United States as a major player. The closest I see is in Ezekiel 38, where he talks about the merchants of Tarshish and the young lions thereof. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? The merchants of Tarshish and the young lions thereof. Well, look at this for a second here, Ezekiel chapter 38, and it says in verse 13, and this is after the coalition, the alliance that I believe is going to be led by Russia, attacks Israel, invades Israel. And it says here in Ezekiel 38, verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods? And he continues to take a great spoil. Now, think about this for a minute. Let me just touch on a couple of things here. We're going to talk about the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. I believe there's where we're going to see a reference to the United States. Because Tarshish was a Hebrew Phoenician outpost, port or colony, whatever you want to call it, that was on the Atlantic side of the Iberian Peninsula, what would be Spain today. And near as I can figure, it must have been somewhere near where we have a major naval base, Rota, there in Rota, Spain. And the place Tarshish was kind of the shipping point, the jumping off point for the merchants of Tarshish, the Phoenician and the Hebrews that sailed out of the Mediterranean up along the coast to the north. They stopped there, and then from there they continued up along the coast of France and into the British Isles, where they mined tin, which is a very strategic metal. Copper is a very soft metal. Copper was relatively abundant in the Mediterranean world, in the ancient world. But copper by itself is very soft. You can't make farm implements or weapons out of copper. Imagine having a hoe or shovel made out of copper. In the moment you hit a rock, it bends and dents and everything. Or imagine having swords made out of copper, and when you hit somebody's sword, they all bend. But when you mix tin in with it, you achieve a very hard substance. We call it bronze today, but in the King James Bible, it uses the word brass. And it's not a mistake. People say, well, that's a mistake. They should know the word should be bronze, because the alloy of tin and copper is bronze, not brass. Well, that is true. But in the 1600s, the word bronze was not yet in use. That's a later word to distinguish one of several copper alloys. And so brass was the word that was used for all copper alloys at the time. So it's a very correct word. So just understand that the brass in the Bible is bronze. And so the location of these tin mines in the British Isles was a strategic resource that was protected by the Hebrews and Phoenicians. In fact, one of the things that they would tell people in the Mediterranean region was, oh man, don't sail outside of the Mediterranean. Don't go through the Straits of Gibraltar. It's dangerous out there. We barely got back with our lives. You know, and you go too far, you'll be lost. There's, you know, and it was all to keep people from going out there. And so they had control of this strategic mineral or metal. And so the merchants of Tarshish became very wealthy. It's believed that Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy man, remember he's the one who, along with Nicodemus, took the body of Christ and put it in Joseph of Arimathea's own grave that he had prepared for himself. And it's believed that it was the tin industry, the tin mining in Britain, that made him a wealthy man. So the merchants of Tarshish would largely refer to Spain, Portugal, France, and Britain. Now, who would the young lions thereof, meaning the offspring of the merchants of Tarshish, be? Well, who founded America? Who founded Canada? And even to a degree, you get look at Mexico and some of the other places, but basically the Americas. And this is where the United States, I believe, is in here, as one of the young lions thereof. But if you notice, it's not a major player. Something's going to happen. The United States is not going to be the major player. I hate to say that, but this is what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to work to make the United States a minor player. I'm going to work to do everything I can to make America great again, to make America strong and to defend this country. But I also recognize God has a timetable. And eventually, the United States is not going to be the powerhouse that it is today. Two other groups that are mentioned there, Sheba and Dedan, is an interesting group as well, and I wanted to touch on that before I move on to something else here tonight. When you look at Sheba and Dedan, This is something that I found extremely interesting that's come to light since Iran attacked Israel. When Iran attacked Israel, we found that Jordan was shooting down some of the Iranian missiles and drones, and part of that is because the Jordanian government, the Kingdom of Jordan, is Sunni, and they have a Shiite group in Jordan that would like to take over Jordan and make it a Shiite Muslim kingdom. And Iran is helping them. So the Jordanians don't want to do anything right now that encourages that or that encourages Iran. So you can see why they were doing that. And they later said we'd shoot down anything that came through our skies from either direction. But two other states that nations that were active that came to light was Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Well, why is that important? Well, back in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, in verse 32, we read something here that's rather interesting. Abraham, of course, his first child was Ishmael by the servant girl, handmaiden, Hagar. And then Sarah bore Isaac. And then later, Sarah was dead, and Abraham took another wife by the name of Keturah. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 32, now the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, she bare Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And then it says this at the end of verse 32, and the sons of Jokshan, Sheba and Dedan. Now remember here in Ezekiel 38, it said in verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. Sheba and Dedan are with the ones that object to the invasion of Israel. You say, well, there's other Shebas and Dedans. Yes, that's true, but the other Shebas and Dedans that the Bible talks about are identified with some of the groups that invade Israel in the coalition that comes against Israel. So this wouldn't be those groups. These would be the grandsons of Abraham through Keturah and Abraham's son Jokshan, who had two sons, Sheba and Dedan. Sheba and Dedan, they moved down in the Arabian Peninsula and toward the south and east in the area of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Isn't that rather interesting? We see Sheba and Dedan today supporting Israel. And in Ezekiel 38 and chapter 13, we see Sheba and Dedan objecting to the invasion of Israel. I think it's kind of interesting. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think this is another thing that shows us that we're in those latter days and that this generation shall not pass before, as he said, all be fulfilled. I hope you're ready. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the best thing. That's the best insurance of all, is to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, pray for us during this time. We've got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to mention something. We have been on the air in Florida on Faith Talk Tampa for the last couple of years. And our contract down there actually runs out at the end of May. And, you know, to let you know what's happening, both of those years were paid for in advance by an anonymous donor. He paid for it the first year and had enough money that he paid for a second year in advance. And to let you know what it was $10,000 each time. And it's $10,000 and some change that we need to commit to a year in Florida. And it was kind of interesting, you know, first year, 2022, $10,000. And we scraped together the rest of that, and we paid in full an entire year on Faith Talk Tampa. And second year, we were coming down to it, weren't sure what was going to happen. And lo and behold, he had the ability to provide another $10,000. And so we scraped together a little bit more, and we were able, I think it was another $2,000 or whatever it was, but they're not quite that. And we paid for another year in full. Well, here we are, 2024, and the individual is not able to do it anymore. You know, we would obviously love to be able to stay on Faith Talk Tampa. We enjoy being down there. We find it a good fit with our home station here at AM 1220, The Word, in the Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio area. But basically, when we went on in Florida, we had been on there some years ago, and we said if we go back on, we were praying that God would supply a year's payment in advance, and he did. And so we were on for a year. We said if we're going to stay on another year, we were praying that God would supply in advance another year's payment, and he did. Well, that's our prayer now. And yeah, it's about 6 weeks or so. I just want to let you know, pray for us. If God wants us to stay on Faith Talk Tampa, well, we're praying that he supplies the need one more time. And that's where we're at. Ours is a small church. We just simply don't have the means of coming up with that ourselves. We had our main part of our auditorium and everything painted here this past week, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to pay for that. And an anonymous donor came in, and while the painter was finishing up, and said, I want to pay the bill. How much is it? And he paid the entire thing in advance. So this is a faith ministry. If God wants us to be on, if we don't get the money, it doesn't mean we're going off the air. It just means we won't be on live on Faith Talk Tampa. But we will be on online. You can always follow us online. And we're still here on AM 1220, WHKWradio.com here in Northeast Ohio, the Cleveland area, Independence, Ohio. So pray for us. And just want to let you know that in advance. We didn't want to come up on the end of May and say, oh, guess what? We won't be on after tomorrow. You know, or something. We just want you to know, pray for us. If God wants us to be there, he'll supply the money. If not, you can join us online at whkwradio.com. But I do want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening to us. And it's my joy, my pleasure to be able to be on. This is one of the highlights of my day. It's a long day. I got Sunday school. I got Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, you know, all of this. And 2 hours of radio Sunday night. It's a busy day, but this is a highlight of my Sunday, really, to be here on the radio with you. And so if we're a blessing to you, pray for us. And thank you for listening. And God bless you. Keep looking up. Don't be overwhelmed with what's happening. Keep looking up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Thanks. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.